coming up on The Kim Gravel Show.
I did a launch of a program and I made $30,000 in like a week. And that's a lot of money.
That's fantastic. Right. Yeah.
In 1 week. And I remember being so proud of myself for figuring that out for about 5 minutes. And then the next thought was, I don't deserve this. This happened too fast. Mm-hmm. It's going to be taken away. Something bad is going to happen.
This is the Kim Gravel Show.
Let's just go on and spill the tea.
This is one of the realest persons I've ever met.
My mission is to encourage every single woman. We're here to lift y'all up.
There's no one more effective than moms.
You mess with the bull, you gonna get the horns.
I need coffee, I need Jesus, and I need therapy.
If you can bring a smile to people's faces, why would you not?
True confidence is knowing who you are and why you're here.
Hey, y'all, it's Kim Gravel here, and this is The Kim Gravel Show. And in this season, we are going to be talking about how we're going to level up our lives because we all have a purpose and a plan. And who knows? Maybe this episode will get you on the right track to living that plan out. Zach.
Kim.
Amazing show today. I'm so excited.
I could not be more excited. I know. I just so love our guest that we have coming on the show today.
I'm just going to say, I'm a little bit like fangirling. Are you?
Yeah. I'm a little bit fangirling.
She's
too,
amazing.
I have to say.
This is going to be an episode that's going to turn your fangirling, your fanboy.
Thank you for catching that.
I had to think about it, Zach.
No, I'm totally fangirling.
I tell you, we're so like do this show so together for so long. And since Kim of Queens, when you were our producer, I just think he's one of the girls. You're just one of the girls. Yeah.
No, I'm right in there. Like I'm in the hole with all the squirrels and the nuts and like, but I'm just like right behind.
No,
like,
you're not the squirrel. You're the nuts.
Or something. I don't know.
You're the nuts.
I'm the nuts. Oh, thank you. Yeah, because you know what?
In more ways than one.
Here's the thing. Because when it's you and Joe and Allison, like, you just eat me alive. That's why I'm the nuts. Right. That's it.
Right. I just like, hang on for the ride.
I'm way out of my depth with all that.
Well, no, you're not. You're growing and you're going. You're growing and growing. No, but today's guest, Amy Porterfield, is amazing. So you guys just hang tight and, you know, buckle up because this is going to be a good one. All right. We'll be right back with Amy Porterfield right after this. Hey, y'all. It's Kim Gravel here. And I got a question for you. Are you ready to level up your life? Are you tired of having all the self-doubt? Well, if you are, I've got a confidence quiz you've got to take because no matter where you are in the journey of your life, right now is where you start to be everything you were meant to be. So head on over to KimGravel.com to find out how confident you really are. Let's go. All right, everybody. We have got a very, 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 very special guest. I'm going to tell you why. I'm a big fan. Zach, you're a big fan.
Yes.
A lot of people are a fan of this amazing woman, Amy Porterfield. She's an ex-corporate girl turned online marketing expert. She's a New York Times bestseller of her new book, 2 Weeks Notice. Woo woo. CEO of a multi-million dollar company. She used to be the director of content for Tony Robbins, and her podcast, which I have like downloaded a million times of a million of the episodes, Online Marketing Made Easy, has over 5 million downloads. She empowers women across the country to take their futures into their own hands. I'm so excited. Well, Amy, welcome to the show.
Amy Porterfield.
Oh, that is kind of sassy. I like it.
New ringtone.
I'm going to get that for my husband's phone every time I call him.
That's right. All right, Amy, I'm so glad to finally meet you. I feel like I know you through all of your social media. I have been reading 2 Weeks Notice. It is so good. It's jam-packed with so many nuggets and tidbits, but also inspiration for all of us out here who are starting our own businesses or starting down this marketing content journey. Why did you write the book, first of all? Because this is your very first book, isn't it?
My very first book, yes. And, you know, I wrote the book because I work with so many beginner entrepreneurs that are just leaving their 9-to-5 job, just starting their online businesses. And I know how that feels. No one teaches this stuff in school. And so they're clueless. They're looking around like, what do I do? How do I even know where to start? What's my first step? And I remember how hard it was in the beginning because I didn't have a guidebook. And I thought, I've been doing this 14 years. I know what it takes. I have the compassion for a first-time entrepreneur. I'm going to give them the guidebook so they don't make all the mistakes that I made in the beginning. So that is exactly why this book came about.
First of all, you have created this amazing company for yourself. You've been at this how long?
14 years now.
14 years. 14 years. What do you say to a person, Amy, who is a first-time entrepreneur out there wanting to start his or her own business?
The first step. Okay. So the first step is, if let's say you're still in a 9-to-5 job or you just left your job and you're starting something new, if you want to start your own business, you've got to get clear on your why. Now, in the book, I give you strategies and techniques and all the things you need, but we do have to start with the mindset. When I worked for Tony Robbins, he used to always say, 80% of entrepreneurship is your mindset. 20% is the mechanics. I've got the mechanics for you all day long. But if we don't get your mind on straight, when it gets hard, you're going to go back to that J-O-B. And so getting clear on your why. For me, my why was very selfish in the beginning, which I think is totally fine. I didn't want a boss. I didn't want to be told what to do, when to do it, or
right,
how
girl.
To do it. I had... Right? Yeah, you get it. And I hit that glass ceiling. I knew I could only go so far. And so I wanted freedom. And so that was the why. So on the days my worries knocked me down and I had every worry in the book, my why would pick me back up and kind of push me back out there. So get a compelling why.
So are you talking about why, like, Amy, like a mission statement or a mantra of sorts, or just... or just for your company, or just for you personally, why you
Great
want to be
question.
An entrepreneur?
For you personally, I love that question.
Got
For
it.
You personally, why do you want to leave behind a regular paycheck, benefits, a steady income? Why is it compelling to you that you're going to leave behind what is safe for something that is more risky? Why do you want it so bad?
So you're saying entrepreneurship looks different to different people. It's almost like you're working for yourself, even though you're working, could be working for someone else, right? So that looks different to different people, right? Love that.
I really do think it does. Yes.
I think so too. Because I'm an entrepreneur myself, but I've always had that mindset, even when I worked in corporate America, that I worked for myself. And so it always kept me motivated. But I have this problem because you describe yourself as a recovering people pleaser.
Yeah.
Hands up. I can relate to that so well. And I think as women, we
right
struggle
here.
With that a little bit more. Okay. What do you mean by that, especially in the business world? What does that mean to you?
You know, I say recovering, and with that, it still shows up here and there. Where it shows up is you cannot get off the yes train. Everything that comes your way, you are saying yes to. And sometimes it's out of FOMO. You don't want to miss out, fear of missing out. But a lot of times it's that you do not want to disappoint somebody. And so you don't want to say no because they're going to look at you as more difficult, or letting them down, or you don't want to miss an opportunity, whatever it might be. And the more yeses you say to you, the more you say yes, you become so overwhelmed with everything coming your way that nothing gets your full attention. I have this motto in my business that less is more. I really do believe that. So I have to be so careful about what I say yes to and what I say no to, because when you say yes to something, something else is not going to get done. It's just like the law of the world kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so you have to be so careful. But the more I stepped away from people pleasing and really just asked myself, what do I want? What do I need? How do I want to serve? I became a more confident entrepreneur. And I think that part's the most important.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Because a lot of times when things are coming your way, and I have this problem too, Amy, I want to do everything, not just for everybody, but like you said, that fear of missing out. What if this is the next thing that's going to get me to the next level? And so how do you determine what to say yes to? Because I think it's scary, especially for an entry-level entrepreneur, to say, how can I turn down this business, or how can I turn down this opportunity? So how do you determine what you say yes to?
Well, in the beginning, I'll let all my new time entrepreneurs off the hook a little bit. You say yes more than you say no in that first year. And the reason for that is you don't know what works, what you like, what you're good at. And you got to experiment a lot in that first year. So a lot of doors will start to open if you start putting yourself out there. And so saying yes more than you say no that first year, I get it. But then you have to cut that off. And that's where most of us, including me, get in trouble because we don't know how to cut that off. Because once you get into that second, third year and you start making money, you have to ask yourself, what is my core offer? What do I want to put out into the world? How do I want to make money? And when you get really clear on how you want to make money, everything else has to become a lesser priority in terms of going to that event, masterminding here, networking there, getting on this call or that call. If it's not going to help you sell your core offer, then it's going to deter you from making money. So I think getting clear on what you sell and how you offer value, that has to be your priority.
I love that because it's so tangible. What you just said was so, you know, we talk sometimes in these big idea and these big visionary parts of entrepreneurship, but I love it because you really break it down into some bite-sized instructional ways to really level up our businesses. I love when you say all you need is a 10% edge. Tell me what, I thought this was super, super cool. What is the 10% edge that you're talking about? Because a lot of us entrepreneurs, some of us feel like a little imposter syndrome sometimes and feel like we're, you know, an expert without any experience. What do you mean by the 10%?
So this one applies to everyone, but I see it being especially helpful to women. Because we kind of think a little bit differently than the gentleman. Here it is. When you go out to teach something, to sell anything, to put your expertise and knowledge out there, all you need is a 10% edge, which means you need to be 10% ahead of those that you are going to serve. What that doesn't mean is you don't need more certifications, more time, more training, more education, whatever it might be. You already are an expert in whatever it is you want to do. And so you just need to be a few steps ahead so you can say, follow me, I'll show you the way. But you don't need to be the end all, all knowing, be all kind of person because that's what stops people. You don't need to be the guru because that's what stops people in their tracks. They think, I need more time. I'm going to do this when I've done it longer or whatever it might be. A lot of my students, I teach them how to create digital courses. Like they take their knowledge and they put it into a digital course and they launch it. And many of them have great success by they were their only success story. Like, let me give you an example. One of the women in my audience, she created caramel candy apples. So she lives in LA. She's a single mom of three. She started to make these caramel candy apples and started to sell them online and people loved them. So then she created a digital course teaching how to make these caramel candy apples. She didn't have 10 years behind her doing this. She wasn't the best of the best doing it, but she was willing to teach other people because she was good at it. She made $30,000 the first time she launched this program. And I can promise you, she just had a 10% edge. The caramel that she used, she bought it in a store. She just told people what store to go buy it in. Like, that's the kind of stuff you got to get scrappy. Yeah. A scrappy mentality gets you going.
You have to have that confidence. And I love what you say that, but courage and confidence go hand in hand. Like, talk about your philosophy around that because I believe we're in a crisis of confidence. I believe people are in this constant comparison mode and thinking, we always think less of ourselves. I mean, we don't even need haters, girl. We hate on our own selves so much that it just stops us in our tracks. So tell me what your relationship between courage and confidence is, girl.
So to echo what you just said, I too have struggled with, I'm not enough. I don't deserve this success.
Me too, Amy.
I'm not enough. It's going to get taken away. Who am I to be doing this? I mean, I'm 14 years in. And when I launched this book, all of those feelings, because I'd never done it before, came flooding back in. And so, yeah, so I think no matter where you are in your journey, that imposter syndrome will pop up. Now, the longer you're at it and the more success you have, you can kind of squash it faster, but it's always going to be there. So for my first time entrepreneurs, don't try to wish it away. It's always going to be there. We just need to get better at taking care of it. Now, in the first steps, it takes courage to do what you're going to do, not confidence. Confidence comes when you start to get going and you have a little track record and you're seeing things come together. So you're feeling a little bit better about, okay, this is going to work. When you're still in a 9-to-5 job and you're going to leave and start your own thing, you don't have a proven track record. It's going to take all the courage you have to do it. And we all have courage inside of us. And so if you have a higher power, a faith, you believe in the universe, God, whatever it might be, I say tap into whatever that might be, because we're going to need some courage to get out the door and get going. Confidence comes later. So I say that to say, don't wait for the confidence. If you're talking to a girlfriend saying, I really want to start this online business, but I'm waiting to feel more confident, it's never coming. It's courage to get you out the door.
Well, how did you find your courage, Amy? I think people connect with you in your business and on your podcast in particular, because you're very transparent and very authentic in what you are speaking and teaching about. So where did you find the courage to really step out and say, you know what, you know, this is why I want to leave. This is why I want to be my own boss.
So when I was still in my 9-to-5 job, I had just gotten married. And so I was newly married and never saw my husband because I was on the road a lot. When I worked for Tony Robbins, I did marketing for the events. So I just was traveling everywhere. And I started to become unhappy and resentful of my situation. And so I had all those feelings kind of bubbling up. But then that's when I started to say, okay, well, what do I want then? If this isn't making me happy, I'm getting paid well. I work for Tony Robbins. Are you kidding me? How cool is that?
Most motivating person on the planet. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the coolest thing. And so I call that the golden handcuffs, because I actually had a really great job, but I wanted something different. Not only the freedom, but I wanted to be home with my husband more. And I also wanted to make more money, to be quite honest. I got paid really well, but I started to see people making millions online. And I'm like, wait a second. So I started to have all these desires. And where I got the courage is I listen to, like, what do I want? I don't think we ask ourselves enough, what do I want? Because we're kind of afraid what the answer might be. I wanted more money. I wanted autonomy. I wanted freedom. And so again, coming back to my why gave me the courage to leave. I was very clear that what I had was not what I wanted. Life's too short. And I also, there's this tiny piece of me that thought, if they can do it, Amy, so can you.
I can do it.
And we all have that little voice we don't want to admit, because we all feel very insecure at times, but we kind of think we're badasses at times. Like, I see all these guys doing it. If they can do it, so can I.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you said something that really touched my soul, because you were saying how, you know, you wanted more and you knew you could do more, but why do we at times, Amy, feel guilty about wanting more? That, to me, that's the number one thing that I see this thread going through a lot of women, especially in business, that you almost feel like guilty or shameful for wanting to be better, bigger, and wanting more. Wonder what that is. I don't know. Maybe I should call a psychologist. You know what I'm saying? Like, what has your experience been?
We need a therapist, because it comes up for me as well. Like,
me too.
I get it. To this day, there's still moments that I think I don't deserve it. Let me tell you a quick story. When I first went out on my own, it was in my first year, or actually I think it was my second year. And I did a launch of a program and I made $30,000 in like a week. And that's a lot of money.
That's fantastic. Right. Yeah.
In 1 week. And I remember being so proud of myself for figuring that out for about 5 minutes. And then the next thought was, I don't deserve this. This happened too fast. It's going to be taken away. Something bad is going to happen. And here's where it gets really wild. That night, my sweet stepson was 5 years old and he fell down and cracked his head on the tile. And in my mind, I thought, this is what I get.
I
made all this money. Yeah. I don't deserve it. So something bad's going to happen. The other shoe's going to drop.
Come on,
Amy. I say it, I sound insane, but it's very real. very real for
me. So many people feel that way. Okay, continue. I'm just sitting here going, preach. Yeah, go ahead.
So, it was such a big thing. So that moment happened and it didn't feel good. Like after I had had the biggest success so far, it didn't feel good. And in that moment, I thought, I need to do some work on myself because I can't, this is not going to continue on the up if I don't think I deserve to make good money and be successful. So I started to do some work. Like, why do I think I don't deserve this? And so I had to do a lot of journaling. I did some therapy, but more so than that, I started to feed my brain or my mind with inspiration. And so like listening to the podcast, Brené Brown and Oprah and anyone who would like breathe life into me. I started reading the self-help books. I am a big proponent of personal growth and having to invest in yourself because the greatest thing about entrepreneurship, you will grow personally, if you stick with it and you give it your all, you will become a better person if you really care to grow as an entrepreneur.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I will tell you, Amy, from my, you know, journey as being an entrepreneur and having success, thank God, I will tell you, without self-awareness for me personally, I mean, I can't tell you how you just feed my soul right now, because success and self-awareness, in my opinion, go hand in hand. If your business is growing faster than you are as an individual, it will not sustain.
Yes.
To me, don't you think that's a nugget? Don't you think that's a starting point to really say, you know, work hard on your company, but work hard on this company, on who you are, right?
Yes. Amen. You know, I recently launched this book for 5 months and I literally put my blood, sweat, and tears into this. I've never worked harder in my entire life.
I bought it. I love it. Yeah.
Thank you, friend. Yeah. But when the book finally came out and was like 2 weeks after, I crashed hard. Like I experienced burnout. And I think there's always seasons that we're going to experience burnout. And I looked back and I thought, what just happened? And I think, you know, putting everything into something and not taking care of myself. So my workouts fell to the side. Eating clean on a regular basis, not so much. Getting enough rest, not as much as I was getting. I literally put myself to the side and went full bore at this whole thing. And that's the thing I hate that I have to admit, 14 years in, I still go back to those bad habits sometimes.
But
then all I needed to do was say, let's realign. Let's get back. And I was able to jump back into taking care of myself fairly quickly. 10 years ago, I wouldn't have even noticed it. But now it's very clear, oh, I'm out of alignment here. So I really do think, one, we have to be nicer to ourselves. We have to give ourselves grace through this experience. And there will be seasons of winning and seasons of burnout. That is normal. It's how you recalibrate and come back to yourself.
Well, and that's the balance, right? How do you, like, personally, Amy, the woman sitting here, find balance? Because there's a lot of women that look up to you, Amy, and I'm one of them. There's a lot of women out there who really, you know, admire what you've accomplished, clearly, and it's a lot. How do you find that? Because you're a mom, you're a wife, you know, and you're an entrepreneur. How do you find that balance, girl?
I love this question because, number one, I do surround myself with people that will support my dream even when I'm not totally on. And so this is for my new entrepreneurs. This takes time, but finding value in hiring good people as you start making money, it's something that most of us wait way too long to do. So now I look around and I have this beautiful team that is here to support me. But I waited. My first full-time hire was 7 years ago. That means I waited 7 years to actually have a full-time hire in my business. I should have done that way earlier than I did. So that's one thing, getting some support around you. Even if your first hire is a virtual assistant, it's something to aspire to. The other thing is I have to ask myself, what am I, without my business, what am I? And this is a scary question for like an achiever like us. Right? Like strip down my title, my work, my entrepreneurship, my accolades. What am I? And at the end of the day, what I value most is being a wife to Hobie and a stepmom to Cade. That if without them, I don't want any of this. Like you take my,
what's the point?
My family away. What's the point? Right? And so luckily I have a good relationship with my husband, Hobie, who will literally call me out and say like, babe, I haven't seen you in 3 days. Like you are so checked out. This is not okay. And we make commitments. Like he likes, oh God, this kills me. My husband, you know, that book, Love Languages.
Yes,
he is quality time. He is quality time. I am acts of service. Like take out the trash and you're the sexiest man alive.
Yeah. But you're hot, baby. Clean out the fridge and you're getting some. Right? Yeah.
Come on. Amen. But he wants me to sit with him every morning for 30 minutes and drink coffee and talk.
Amy. Girl. And God bless him.
I know. And I'm so lucky to have a husband who wants to spend quality time with me. But it's definitely a struggle. But at the end of the day, I think I love that man fiercely. If he needs 30 minutes with me, let's give it
You'll give it to him. Yeah.
Yeah. So understanding like where Hobie and I stand in our marriage is really important. I come from a divorced family and I never, ever want to have to do that. And so, getting my priorities straight really helps me make sure I have some balance in my life.
Well, and anybody named Hobie, I'm down like four flat tires with. I mean, that's the best name on the planet.
And he has the sexiest beard ever.
Keep him, girl. I love a beard. Keep
beards
him.
Beards are sexy. Thank
Beards
you.
Are sexy. Zach and his beard.
Yeah, I'd keep him. Okay. Yeah. So balance is so hard, y'all, for women especially. I mean, it's one of those things where we can't really have it all, but we do it all. You know, it's one of those things. Okay. I have one of the most powerful ideas in your book that I thought was so interesting I want to share with our audience is the capacity for zero. Can you explain that? I think it is huge what you say about this.
Okay. So this is a concept that came about as I was promoting the book and talking about it more. I started to talk about this idea that you have to be willing to start from scratch. And what I mean by that is not just zero social media followers or zero people on your newsletter or whatever, or $0 in your bank account. That all is very true when you're just starting out. But also you have to be willing to be a beginner or an amateur, no longer a pro. So a lot of us achievers, when we're in our 9-to-5 job, we're really good at it. Like I was kicking butt in my 9-to-5 job. I'd been there a long time. I had a lot of clout. I was a big deal within my little network there.
Sure.
I go out on my own. No one knows me. I don't have a social media presence. And I'm really a nobody out there in the world wide web. Like I had to be okay with stripping down the clout, stripping down what I knew, and kind of being a beginner, not kind of, but actually being a beginner. The higher your capacity for zero, your willingness to start over, to be a beginner, the higher that is, the more success you'll have more quickly because you're going to be willing to put yourself out there. You're not going to worry about what everyone thinks. It's okay if they see you as a beginner because you know you're going places. So strengthen that muscle and say, it's okay that my coworkers, here's one of the reasons a lot of people don't get started. They're worried about their friends or coworkers or ex-coworkers are going to think when they start posting online. Like, who are you to be doing that? We're so afraid what other people will think because our capacity for zero is not strong enough yet. Mm-hmm. And so the higher you make that capacity for zero, the more willing you are to put yourself out there no matter what.
But a lot of people out there want this, but they can't find the motivation. What is your advice to someone sitting here, just as girlfriend to girlfriend, just talking straight back and forth to me? How do you find the motivation to take that step?
So if you're thinking, okay, you're in your 9-to-5 job, you're not happy, you're not getting paid enough, and you really want to do your own thing, and you even have an idea, let's say, like the caramel candy apples. Like she had an idea of what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
I know, it's such a good one. So the motivation.
I was going to say, now I'm hungry, Amy. Thanks a lot.
I know, like, right? And they're so delicious. She sent me a few and I didn't
show
them.
I'm going to go figure I'm going to go find them and order them. Yeah, go ahead. Right? I'm sorry.
I got to show you because she's so good. But the motivation comes from getting, okay, so going back to a little bit about what we talked about, getting clear about what you want and what you don't want is really important. And going back to that why do you want it? Why is it important to you? But also some of that motivation could come from you confiding in a few people and asking them to keep you accountable. So in the book, I talk about only telling three people about your dream before you leave your 9-to-5 job. And the reason I say three people is because the more people you tell, the more people will tell you why it won't work because they're not doing it. And so if they're too afraid to do it, they're going to tell you all the reasons you shouldn't. But you do need to tell a few core people. Like I told my mom, she thinks I could land on an unidentified planet and like be a superstar. So she believes in me, my best friend, and then my husband. Those are the only people that knew I was planning to leave my job in 6 months. And I asked them, when I tell you that maybe I won't do it, I need you to come back with me and encourage me to keep going because I am scared to do this.
Finding
people around you that will encourage you is so important. And then another thing I did that helped me stay motivated is I actually got into a mastermind with other entrepreneurial women pretty early on in my journey. And so that I could be surrounded by people doing bigger things than me that would inspire me. That's another thing. You need to go full immersion, clean up your social media, only follow people that are inspiring you, follow other business owners, other people that are doing big things, because we need to flood our brain with proof that this can actually work.
Well, Amy, you are the proof. I mean, everybody listening to this, you've got to go get the book. You've got to start downloading her podcast weekly. You have got to take her course. Amy is the real deal, Holyfield. And she is, I'm telling you, you are truly an expert because of all this experience that you have, Amy. Okay, so before I let you go, I do something every single podcast. I do a rapid fire questions. I just ask you things. Yeah. Don't think about it, girl. Just say the first thing that comes to your mind.
Rapid fire questions.
All right, I'm ready.
I see. You're settling in. You're going, all right, girl.
I'm ready. I'm really bad at this, but I'm going to do it.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You're brilliant. You're brilliant. Okay, here we go. What is your biggest deal breaker in a relationship?
Ooh, somebody that deal break, like in a romantic relationship?
Either, anybody, friendship, a business, anything.
Someone who doesn't have compassion, they're out. They can't understand somebody else.
You're out. Oh, that's such a good one, too. You know, we got to realize we're like, There's it's a bigger world than just what we think and feel.
Yes.
Okay. Favorite pizza topping?
Oh, pineapple.
Oh, good.
I love pineapple.
You do? Oh, I thought you were going to make fun of me. People hate it.
Oh, I love Hawaiian pizza, the Canadian bacon and pineapple.
I found my people.
Oh, girl, I'm going to have that for dinner. Oh, my God, I just had cold chills. We're best friends. We are so best friends. Okay.
I love it.
Here we go. What's the ideal way to spend 30 minutes of downtime for you?
Ooh, 30 minutes of downtime would be on my couch with my dog Scout snuggling. I know it's so cheesy, but
what kind of dog?
Love him.
What's your pup? What kind of
his
pup
name
you
is
have?
Scout, and he's a Labradoodle, and he's magic. I just love him. Yeah,
I love it. Labradoodles are wonderful.
So sweet.
They're beautiful. Okay. They're very soft. My sister has a Labrador. Okay. What is something you think everyone should try at least once?
Ooh, I think everyone should try. Okay. This is so weird. It's a new thing I love. Cryotherapy. Have you done cryotherapy? It's when you go into this thing and it's freezing cold for 3 minutes and you stand there like literally freezing and then you walk out. Here's why. I struggle with anxiety and depression, and I swear 3 minutes in that little chamber, I get out and it's like a zap of new energy and a new vibe. So cryotherapy, I think everyone should try it once.
So Amy, is it the same thing as that cold ice water bath stuff?
Same idea. Yes. I haven't done that yet. One, I don't like to be in a bathing suit. Two, that looks way scary for me. I don't know if I could do it, but cryo's a little easier.
Do you take cold shower? Can you just take a cold shower?
Yes, but that feels really hard too. Cryo's easier even than a cold shower.
I'm going to try that. I've heard it, you know.
So good.
I'm so, like, I've had three hot flashes just sitting here talking to you, so I could probably use a little cry there.
Yeah, I'm like drenched right now. No joke. I'm really
No, I'm serious. My pits are sweating. We're there. It's on. Okay, here we go. Biggest marketing fail.
Ooh, one time I spent $20,000 to a woman that I thought was going to create all these surveys for me. She never created anything. And I spent it because it was right before tax season and people are like, spend your money to save money. Stupidest advice ever. $20,000 I will never get back. It was very early on in my career and I'm still bitter about it.
Yeah, I mean, we got to be careful. The bait and switch out there is strong. Okay, favorite thing to binge on streaming or TV?
Ooh, okay. So I love any Sex in the City reruns. I don't love the new one as much, but I'm going to watch every single one of them. Every
Me
single
too.
One.
So it's worth the fashion.
Right? I can't.
Yeah.
It is. And then this one's a new one. It's like I'm a teeny bopper. Emily in Paris. I freaking love it.
God,
I think it's
Emily.
So good.
Oh, girl.
It's good.
Are we related?
We are the same.
I'm serious. We are the same.
Related.
Isn't it that Emily in Paris, the music, the soundtrack, the visuals, the clothes.
Yes. The clothes. Yes. I just watch it for all of that. I mean, Zach, are you watching Emily in Paris?
I am not watching Emily in Paris.
I'm missing out.
I'm okay with that.
Hobie would never.
For me.
I get it, Zach.
You know, every time I watch Emily in Paris, I just want to have a hunk of cheese and bread. I don't know. There's something about Paris.
And some wine. Yes.
Oh, and I forgot the wine.
French.
Here we go. I'm not a big drinker, but give me something to eat, honey, and I'm down like four flat tires. Okay,
Amen.
Here we go.
Wait, Kim, real quick. Do you eat French cheese? Are you a French cheese? I don't picture you as a French cheese person.
I think my blood is part cheese.
Okay.
Oh, I love cheese. Love
There's
it.
Nothing like a soft cheese and a warm bread.
Ooh, yes.
Okay, y'all, we're going off track here. Here we go. Favorite junk food.
favorite junk food. Okay, I like anything sour gummies. I love sour gummies.
Ooh, okay, so you're a salty. You're a salty, you're a sour, you're not a sweet.
No, I'm so sweet, but the sour gets me too. Yeah.
Okay. So
sour
like
gummy's sweet. Yeah, I'm into it.
They're sweet
and I love
and,
sweet and sour.
They're kind of sweet and salty. Okay. If you could instantly learn anything, what would it be?
Ooh, okay. So I wish I was a really good singer. If I could instantly learn how to be a great singer, I'm terrible. And people tend to like my voice on my podcast and I hear it maybe once a week. You must be a great singer. And my husband will be like, no, she's not. He will tell you all the time. And I'm like, you can just shut up. But yeah,
he truly keeps you grounded and keeps it real with you then. He's
really
truly
does.
That accountability. I love it.
Very true.
Who is your celebrity crush?
Ooh, okay. Okay, so I always get his, I'm really bad with actors' names, but you know the guy on Walking Dead that had the big club thing? What's his name?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't remember his name, but he's
sexy.
Hot.
Very sexy. And Jason Momoa. I like the big boys.
Ooh. Jason Momoa is so hot. I've watched Aquaman like 14 times just to see him come out of that water, girl.
Amen. Agree.
And the tattoos and everything.
Everything.
I love it. Okay, one last question, Amy, and I'll let you go. What, if there's any one thing that you could tell your former younger self, what would it be?
Oh, I would tell her, let it be easy. Just let it be easy. I tend to make things very difficult, especially in my head. So let it be easy and be kinder to yourself. Those would be the lessons I'd tell my younger self.
Oh, girl, I just love you. Y'all, this is Amy Porterfield. Get her book. Go get her book, 2 weeks notice, New York Times bestseller, Online Marketing Made Easy podcast. Amy, I adore you. You are phenomenal,
Likewise,
and you're
friend.
Doing a good work, my friend. Thank you for being you. God has blessed you, and you're rocking it.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Zach, Amy Porterfield is the real deal. I loved her. And all the things she was saying is things that, you know, it's sometimes we just need to be reminded of, right?
I'm such a huge fan of hers. I think she's so impressive. I love her so much.
She's out there killing it and she's doing it. And she started from nothing. I love that capacity to zero because I think everybody thinks we got to clean up, fix up, know everything, and have it all together before we take that first step. And she's like, look, just take the step and everything else will follow. And it's so true. There's so many people, Zach, that are probably listening to this thinking, I'd love to start my own business, or I would love to, you know, do something different than what I'm doing. And honestly, you just have to have, like she said, the courage to do it. And yes, it takes a lot of courage to step out. It does. Mm-hmm.
Well, and you said it best. I think a few episodes ago, you said something like, you just have to do it scared.
Do it afraid.
And like, do it afraid. That was it. That was it. Do it afraid.
Do it afraid.
And that's totally true.
Because you know what? Can I say something about fear? It just hit me. So somebody needs to hear this, but fear is fleeting. The thing about fear is it's a rush of emotion. And then if you give attention to it, that's when it starts to stay around. But normally fear, it comes in. And like Amy said, if you feed yourself with the information, with the tools, with the affirmation that speaks to that fear, it will leave. Okay? But faith remains. Faith is constant and steady if you feed it, right?
Yeah.
So is fear if you feed it. So what you feed grows. So make sure that you are feeding your faith and not that fear. Because fear, we're going to have it. It's going to happen. It's going to rush in. But then if you don't feed it, it will go. I thought another great thing that we talked about was, like, when we were talking about that self-sabotage, when she was saying when she had made that $30,000 and then her stepson hurt his head, and then she was saying, well, that's what happened. The thing about not being worthy enough to have success, that's a biggie.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt that way?
I was just going to say, I think that's one of those mental blocks, right? Is like, why do I deserve this? Like, why am I good enough for this? Why could I make the multi-million dollar, whatever it is, course or whatever it is, right? Like it doesn't feel like doesn't feel like it's for me.
Can I say something? And this might this might step on some toes. It's not, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. When you have a spirit of like, I deserve, that's a little bit of entitlement. We don't deserve all the success. But if you have faith and move in what God has for you, He will gift it and grace it to you. Like, I don't ever walk around going, I deserve this. I've worked hard. Yes, you work hard. That's the big thing that trips us up. I'm telling you, because inside we think we don't deserve it. We really don't. It's all a gift. It's all grace. It's all a blessing. And so when you look at things from a lens of gratitude, okay, instead of I deserve, or for a lot of us, I don't deserve, take that word, take that out of your vocabulary and put it over here and replace it with I'm grateful for the gifts and the blessings that I have on my life. When you start speaking that language, you will be surprised how many opportunities and moments and money and blessings. And I'm not saying name it and claim it here, but I'm saying it's a mental outlook.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you, Zach? Do you know
what
I'm saying?
That does make sense to me. I get what you're saying. That's a process. It's going to take a while to get there.
We complicate it. We're trying to deserve and earn and hustle. And it's so easy.
Oh, Kim, you're always like turning this stuff up on its head. Like you're always doing it. And then I think I see it one way. And then I come out of this and I'm like, oh, it's totally the opposite.
But you know what I'm saying?
And that makes total sense. Yeah. Yeah.
It's easy. We complicate it. Okay. There's an ease to success. There's effort that you have to put in. See, that's a positive word.
Yeah.
There is an easiness to success. There's not a formula, but there is success for you in your life. I promise you. if you've got the courage and the confidence to see it through. All right, y'all, till next week. I'm Kim.
I'm Zach.
And we love you so much. We love you. Bye.
Let me know if you're good. I'm going to take a sip of water.
Take a sip of water. Hey, y'all. Oh, wait, Kim Gravel here. I don't think I need it. Sorry. I'm just going to do it.
I was going to say, I didn't give it to you. Are you really going
to
do
don't
it?
Don't give it
you're
to me.
Do it without the
I'm going to do it.
All right. All right.
Press
all
play.
Right,
all right.
I was like, oh, it's play.
Hit stop in the camera. The Kim Gravel Show is produced and edited by Zach Miller at Uncommon Audio. Our associate producer is Kathleen Grant, the brunette exec. Production help from Emily Breeden and Sarah Noto. Our cover art is designed by Sanaz at Mammarian Creative and Mike Kligerman edits the show. And a special thanks to the team at QVC. Head over to thekimgravelshow.com and sign up for our mailing list. Again, we can't do this without you, so thank you for listening, and we love you.